Thank you, Jesus. We exalt your name, Lord. You are worthy of it, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Holy is the Lamb of God. Holy is the Lamb of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The presence of God is surely here. God has showed up in a beautiful way. And that is a testimony to your faithfulness, your commitment, your hunger, and your desperation. Appreciate so much the response of these young people to the presence of God. This wonderful worship team, singers and musicians, your leadership, Pastor Williford and his wife and family, Brother DeLong and his wife, just so thankful for their faithfulness and commitment. Excited to get into the Word of God with you this evening. Gonna pick up where I left off. Amen. Gonna dig some more. Praise God. Felt God's hand just reached in and just got a hold of some things in us. And he's doing a deep work, isn't he? Amen. Why don't we open up our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 26. And I'm just excited. And I tell you what, they got me a meal after service last night, and largest salad I've ever seen in my life. Amen. What was the name of that place? Joey B's? Joey B. I guess B is for big. And huge. I mean, my salad was sufficient to feed 5,000. Amen. Amen. I felt like a little lad with that salad in front of me. Praise God. I had to divide it, take a quarter of it and eat it. Amen. They just went well beyond. I was like, how much salad do they have in that place? I mean, for you to just share that liberally. There's some givers there. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. They're just givers. I guess maybe they knew it was coming to the church, so they just went even overboard. Amen. Why don't we open up our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 26. If you have it, say amen. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Verse 35, last scripture, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Amen. I want to preach on that last phrase, the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. And we'll just pick up where the Lord left off, and we'll see what the Lord does. Amen. Can you lay your Bibles down, everyone? Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Let's ask God to speak. Lord, we thank you for what you did yesterday. We ask you to build upon it today. We come to you as dust and ashes. We come to you as fragile clay. Lord, we come to you. We come to the potter tonight, God, that you would mold us and shape us and do whatever you want to do. Have your way in this place. We yield to the potter's hands. Fashion us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Amen. You may be seated. The breaking of bread. As I told you last night, these two disciples were so discouraged at what happened on Good Friday. They were so discouraged, so filled with doubts, because they witnessed the most incredible tragedy in the history of mankind. And that was when God manifested in the flesh, died for our sins. They weren't aware of what he was doing. They weren't aware to what he was doing behind the scenes. So for 3 days, they were troubled in their thoughts. And in the middle of their troubles, Jesus drew near to comfort them with his words. And when he drew near, their eyes were holding. They did not recognize him. They were overwhelmed with the pain of the past. They were overwhelmed with the pain of yesterday. They could not see him. Their eyes were holding. And when their eyes were holding, Jesus just looked at them and said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opens up the book, but they still can't see him. They still can't recognize him. There's scales on their eyes. Then he opens up the book. They don't understand him. And then as they walk with him, they constrain him, saying, "Abide with us, this stranger." They didn't know who he was. And he went to tarry with them. Listen. And he set at meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he was known of them in the breaking of bread. They were with him, but they could not see him until he broke the bread. They were in fellowship with him. They were hearing about the scriptures with him. But they could not see him until they first encountered brokenness. And brokenness became the place of revelation. Brokenness became the pathway to understanding. They could not see him even though they were talking with him. They could not see him although they were fellowshipping with him. There are some places in God that you cannot discover until you first endure a broken season. And it's in that broken place that he's going to open up the windows of heaven. And he's going to show you a side of him that you cannot see anywhere. Hallelujah. Their eyes were holding. They were speaking with him. They were in fellowship with him. They talked with him. They communed with him. But they could not see his resurrected state until he broke the bread. And there was something about that brokenness that showed them a side of God that they didn't even know existed. There was something about the way they encountered that brokenness that it opened their eyes to understanding and revelation. Out of the soil of brokenness, there is a budding resurrection that comes out of the soil. Can I tell you, when you're broken, it doesn't mean God's mad. It just means I want to show you a side of me that you can't even get in a prayer meeting, but you're gonna get it when you survive some pain, when you survive some hell. Oh, somebody clap your hands. I'm just gonna jump right into it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Last night I spent about 15 minutes building into this point. Didn't get to the point. Praise God. Now I just start off with the straight meat of the word of God. No fluff. Just giving it to you right where you are. I come to tell you there are some places in God that you cannot see. Even just by praying. Even just by worshiping. There is something that is cultivated in brokenness. It cannot be cultivated anywhere else. Brokenness shows a side of God that blessing doesn't show. Come on, somebody. But when you get broken, God begins to do some blessings in you right out of the soil of that brokenness. It's painful, but it's necessary to see that dimension of him. It hurts, but there's something latent in the hurt that you're going to thank him for later. It doesn't feel good right now, but God is a master craftsman behind the scene, beginning to put pieces to the puzzle together for you. And when you look back on that broken season, you're going to see that God was doing something in you, that God was doing something in your family, that God was opening doors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you don't see it, do you? I've been standing in front of you. You've been discouraged with the pain of yesterday. You don't even see it, do you? He says, okay, here it is. All of a sudden, a wave went through their body, and they said, it's him, it's him, it's him. I fellowshiped with him, but I didn't see that it was him. I didn't realize that I had the blessing of his presence until I encountered brokenness. Come on, brokenness makes you more grateful to see what God has been doing in the middle. I told someone the other day, I said, there's some people that went through some things last year, and they were complaining, and they were getting bitter, and they were mad at what was happening, almost backslid because of all the stuff that happened last year, and only to come into 2020 and to wish for last year. Come on, somebody. You were aggravated with your boss on your job. But in 2020, you're just thankful you have a job. Come on, somebody. You were aggravated. Come on, somebody. With people talking about you. Now you're just grateful to see people in person and not sit at home on a Zoom. Come on, somebody. There's something about brokenness that breeds gratitude and appreciation for what God is doing. Amen. Amen. 2020, people gonna look at the calendar, should the Lord tarry. They're going to look at this calendar in 20, 30 years, and they're going to see 2019, then a smudge, then 2021. Say, Mom, what happened here? Oh, that's the year that should not be named. We don't speak about that year, but what happened, 2020 is going to be one of those, like, it's going to get into the modern day vernacular. Like, how you feeling today? Well, I'm feeling 2020. What happened to that relationship? Oh, it 2020'd. Amen. Everyone said that 2020 was the year of vision. Can I tell you, that wasn't a lie, that was the truth. We just didn't realize that brokenness was a part of the vision being fulfilled. We didn't realize what it took to get the promise to come. This was necessary. Amen. Hey, amen. We were talking about vision for everybody else. We didn't know there would be some limbs directed on me. And COVID revealed to you, hold on, you got some issues. Come on, somebody. I like to ignore this by going to work and staying busy. But then I was stuck at home for 2 weeks to a month, and I just started getting tired of myself. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm just happy to see people. I was preaching in the office by myself. I had to preach at night because I was scared if I preached during the day, a lot of my neighbors, they walked their dogs. I was scared they might call the cops on me. Domestic violence, amen. Somebody shouting in that house. He's talking about, he mad at somebody named Satan. It's like a fight going on in there. So I wait till like 10 o'clock at night to record my video. Because during the day, I know they're going to come knocking, everything okay? Hey, man, I get so tired of looking at myself in that mirror, in that camera. I started saying, boy, I'm sick of looking at you. Praise the Lord, everybody. How are you doing? Amen. Brokenness was a part of the vision coming to pass. It was when the servant was surrounded by trouble that the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. Trouble leads to clarity. Y'all gonna throw me out of here tonight. Trouble focuses the senses on what truly matters. And you know what truly matters? It's nothing else going on in this world. It's the King of Kings. It's my Savior. It's my provider. It's my healer. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He showed them this side of him after he broke the bread. And he was made known after there was a brokenness encounter. Whenever he showed them the law and he showed them Moses, the Bible says he expounded on Moses and the prophets. I like to believe that God brought them back to the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible, and showed them that I always get glory in the broken places. I believe he took them back to the beginning. He took them to Adam and Eve. He created Adam. Adam made in the image of God. Adam made by the hand of God. Adam in the image of God. Blessed by God. Has a purpose from God. Has an assignment to till the garden. And God looked at this man filled with purpose, potential, and destiny and blessing. And God said, it's not good. Let man be alone. Amen. Looked at this vessel filled with potential, destiny, and purpose and says, it's not good for man to be alone. So God broke his body open. Broke a rib off of his body. And the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. God said, I'm looking for goodness. So I have to allow him to endure brokenness to take goodness out of him. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And I can do more with Adam broken than I can do with him whole. Some people think that Adam was Play-Doh or something, like God just took the rib off of them. No, that was surgery. He put Adam under anesthesia, had surgery. Adam was bloodied to snatch the bloody rib out of his body, sealed him back up, stitched him back up. And after Adam woke up out of that pain, he didn't even have time to complain about the broken season. When he seen what God made out of his broken season, and he said, this is bone of my bone, and this is flesh of my flesh. You know what he was saying? It was worth going through the hell. It was worth going through the pain when I see what God created.
Oh. Amen. Amen. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I have to allow you to endure brokenness for me to pull out goodness. And the good thing came out of a broken season. Can I preach to somebody right there? I said good things can come out of your broken season. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Favor came forth out of brokenness. He named the woman taken out of his broken season. He named the woman Eve, mother of living. Life came forth out of brokenness. Adam and Eve had children. Fruitfulness came forth out of brokenness. Oh, Lord. A Messiah, a king would come forth later out of that brokenness. You're not hearing me right now. There was treasures, unsearchable treasures, that are still being reaped out of one person's brokenness. Come on, somebody. I said, God did more for you broken than he did for you whole. He created the world with his word, but he saved the world with his wound. Y'all not hearing me? He created the world with his strength, but he saved it in his weakness. He saved it when he cried out on the cross, where the bread was broken for the last time in his life, when he was broken on the cross. Y'all not hearing me out there? And he did more for us broken than he did for us whole. God said, I can do more in your life, Adam, with you broken, than I can do with all of your talent, than I can do with all of your ability, than I could do with all your ingenuity, all your giftings in your business. Come on, somebody, all your academia. I can do more with you in one broken season, because then I know in that broken season, that is a spot where I'm going to get glory. That is a spot that you're going to depend. That is a spot. Oh, somebody clap your hands if you hear what I'm saying. Hey! Hallelujah! 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 God did more with Adam broken than he did with him whole. I think about Moses. He took him to Moses. I have to believe he had to gloss over the life of Moses. And the Bible says that Moses, in Acts 7, Stephen preaching, that Moses was a man of mighty words and deeds. Moses had an oratory gift in Egypt. He was a man of profound strength, profound mighty deeds, and profound oratory. And Moses, Stephen preaching, Stephen says that Moses killed that Egyptian, supposing that Israel might understand that by his hands he was their deliverer, but they understood it not. Meaning, Moses killed that Egyptian in his own strength, thinking that the Israelites would rally behind him and they would beat Pharaoh with swords and with shields. But God said, no, that's not going to happen. And Moses had this oratory gift in Egypt. So you know what God did? God put Moses in a 40-year broken season. And God broke Moses' oratory down. Broke it down to a stutter. And God said, I can do more with your stutter than I could do with your oratory. I could do more in your weakness than I could do in your strength. I could do more when you have nothing than... Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. He spoke well, had an oratory gift. But you know what? His oratory and strength didn't save anybody. So God put him in a 40-year broken season and broke down his oratory, broke down the stutter, broke down the hyperbole, the simile, the metaphors, broke down the comma, the jot and the tittles, broke it down to and God says, now I brought you to a dependency where I alone am going to get the glory. And when I deliver Israel, it's not going to be because of your ability. It's going to be because you have the God of all gods on your side. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. He broke him down in the broken season. Listen, he broke him down to a dependency. Some of us are so independent. Come on, somebody. God can't do anything through us. So he will allow brokenness to push you into a dependency. Listen, Moses was pushed down to such a dependency where in order to get his purpose accomplished, he needed his brother and he needed God. Are you hearing me right now? God God put him into a dependency where he needed Aaron to translate. Are you hearing me right now? He couldn't do his assignment alone. It put a dependency on him for his brother and upon his God. Can I tell you what's happening in your broken season? God is pushing a dependency on you where you need the body, where you need your brother and you need your sister. And I... And for some of us, we took that for granted before COVID. Come on, somebody. It was, I have to go to church. I have to go to church so I don't get a text message asking me when I'm at. People looking at me crazy out there. I don't want to miss two Sundays in a row. I'm going to get a text asking if I'm backslid. Come on, they're going to gather around me when I get to the altar. Come on, somebody. They're going to muzzle me, pray me back through. Praise God. Then during COVID, it's like, when do we have church? When can I get to church? When can I get to the sanctuary? Why? Because after you lose your job and after you've been encountering loneliness and depression and anxiety, you say, you know what? I need my brother. I need my brother. I'm not going to take it for granted again. Aren't you thankful for the body of Christ? Aren't you thankful for a brother and sister? Aren't you thankful for the God of Israel? Strip noses down to where he needed his brother, and he could not get his person, purpose, or mission accomplished without his brother, because Aaron translated. He said, your brother's going to be your mouth. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm putting a brother in the spot of your weakness. Somebody about to throw a shoe at me up here. Praise God. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody right now. Help me, Holy Ghost. People like to think that a caterpillar, when it enters the cocoon, that a caterpillar, if I'm helping you, wave a hand right now, if I'm helping you right now. Oh, praise God. I'm getting excited. I'm about to run it. I'm trying to calm down. Amen. Remember, Victor, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. I don't care that it's Thursday. Amen. I just feel the anointing. Help me, Lord. I got some springs up in my feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. People think that a caterpillar just gets into the cocoon, puts wings on, and comes out. No, that's not how it works. A caterpillar, when it goes into the cocoon, the inside of the caterpillar, the enzymes, listen, breaks its body down to liquid. All that's left in that cocoon is the spine or the backbone, the structure of that caterpillar. The rest of its body has been reduced to liquid. And if you were to open that cocoon before its time, liquid would pour out. There is no body in there. No, it's been broken down and reduced to nothing. Then over time, it begins to build itself back up. And when it builds itself back up, it comes out a butterfly, because out of brokenness came forth transformation. Can I preach to this church right now? Out of your season of brokenness, there's a transformation that's going to come forth. You're about to take flight. You're about to walk in new levels and new dimensions. Hallelujah. Genesis 7:11, the Bible talks about how, y'all just love the Word of God. Y'all just pull this stuff out of me. Y'all just chill, man. Amen. I'm giving y'all everything. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says that the waters came on the earth for the flood, and that rain came from heaven to cover the earth. But water didn't just come from heaven. Water also came from the bottom. For the Bible says in Genesis 7:11 that the fountains of the deep were broken up. Oh Lord. So rain didn't just come from heaven, but water shot up out of the brokenness. See, some of y'all have been getting discouraged because you've been expecting the rain of blessing to just come from heaven. But God's looking down at your broken season. And he's saying water and life is about to spring up from the bottom. And when it springs up from the bottom and the rain of blessing finally comes from the top, there's going to be a crescendo in the middle. An impact is going. Amen. The Bible says that Samson, there was a young lion that roared at him. And when this young lion roared at him, Samson broke that lion in two. He ripped the lion. And after he ripped and broke that lion's body open, there were some bees that were buzzing in the territory. And they were looking for the perfect place to produce honey. And they said, why not build a beehive or a bee's nest right in the middle of the lion's brokenness? The place that we know we won't be bothered. Because nobody expects sweetness to come forth out of brokenness. We're going to produce honey in a spot no one believes it's possible. See, some of y'all, while I've been preaching, you've been thinking about your situation. And you've been thinking it's impossible for God to get glory out of this. But those bees say, you know what? That spot is the place I want to produce honey. And out of the lion's brokenness came forth sweetness. And it's very interesting because it takes a lion's body about a month to fully decompose above the ground. A month. It takes about a month for a lion's body to fully decompose above the ground. But listen, it takes a beehive or a bee's nest 2 to 3 months to completely deteriorate. Which means long after the lion's body was gone, the honey that was produced out of the lion still held on. And the sweetness lasted 2 to 3 times longer than the brokenness. How long have you been broken? I want you, if you've been broken 6 months, you better get ready for the sweet season to last a year and a half. How long have you been broken? Has it been 5 years? You better get ready for the sweet season to last 10 to 15 years. Oh, Jesus. Somebody clap your hands if you hear what I'm saying. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know what happened out of that lion's brokenness? There was honey that was sufficient to feed Samson, which was the chosen man of God. It was honey that was sufficient to feed Samson's family. It was enough to feed the people of God. What if I told you your broken season wasn't even about you? It wasn't even about your family. It was so some people in this church can reap honey right out of your brokenness. It was so some people in your community could reap honey right out of this church's brokenness. It was never about you. That's why somebody could come in the building last night and nobody lay their hands on them. And the power of God come down. What is that? That is partaking of the honey. Every time you praise, you're releasing honey. Every time you lift up your hands, you're releasing honey. And that's why people are getting healed. That's why people are getting touched. Because there's a whole lot of honey. Can I tell you what you have endured? Can I tell you it has set a standard that when your kids grow up, they won't have to go through what you've gone through. Why? Because they're still reaping honey out of 2020. It can, should the Lord tarry, it could be 2030. Your kids all grown up. It could be 2050. Your kids all grown up. And yet they have a sound mind in the middle of a struggle. Why? Because they're still reaping honey from how you handled 2020. Can I tell you, there's honey here. That's why it's miraculous. Oh, the amount of hunger and thirst after God that is here right now in the middle of everything that's going on is because somewhere 20, 30 years ago, somebody in this church been through something. And the honey has trickled down to this spot. Come on, somebody. It's trickled down right in the middle of 2020 where everybody else is going crazy. Somehow you have a sound mind while everybody else is giving up on their relationship with God. You're saying, no, there's some honey that I'm reaping because my father and my grandfather, they've been through some things over the years. Come on, somebody. And we are reaping honey from a previous generation. Honey was sufficient to feed his family and the people of God. You went through it because St. Louis needs some honey. And somebody had to endure the pain to get the honey to them. Y'all not hearing me out there. You went through it so the honey could spill over. Where it's not just helping people in here and ministering to people and families in here, but it spills over to your job. It spills over to your school. It spills over to lost family members. Come on. It spills over into backsliders. That's why we are holding on, because we're releasing honey on siblings that are lost. We're releasing honey on family that is lost. Hallelujah. David is hated by his brothers because it doesn't feel good when somebody skips you over for the anointing. Come on, somebody. His brothers came up. Eliab, who names means strength, comes up and is like, I'm ready, prophet. Go ahead. Bring me the oil. Prophet said, boy, get out of here. oh, my bad. It must be man over here. Go ahead. Bring me the oil. Forget it. No. Definitely not you. No. Now, do you have another son? Yeah, he's back in the pasture watching the sheep. We're hoping he gets killed by a lion or a bear. David was rejected by family. He gets anointed. Brothers despise him. When David goes to the battle to serve his brothers, Eliab says, don't you know, I know you have a wicked heart and a naughty heart for you being here. There was a tension in the family. There was a rejection in the family. There was a division in the family. But there came a moment when David killed Goliath, and now he's in the palace, and Saul sets his eye on David, wanting to kill him, throws javelins at him. Now the enemy is after David, where he has to go hide in the cave Adullam. And when he goes hide in the cave Adullam, in a place of brokenness, the Bible says that his father, his mother, and his brothers came to meet him there. And David's brokenness became a place of reconciliation. Because his brother says, we may not like him, but when we see the enemy trying to destroy him, we're going to put aside our grudges. We're going to put aside everything bad that happened. And we're going to come to the aid of our brother. Come on, somebody. Brokenness will breed reconciliation. There was reconciliation that happened in David's brokenness. The grudges were stopped. Because they said, no, this ain't the time to be mad at one another. It's the time for us to come together. And it's interesting because David sends his parents to the king of Moab so the king of Moab could protect his parents. The Moabites and the Israelites did not get along. There was a tension between them for generations. But Jesse's background came out of Moab. Ruth was a Moabite. And so in David's brokenness became a place of generational reconciliation. Whew. The first time Jesus broke bread was whenever he fed the 5,000. The Bible says there was just a boy there. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus just said, just bring it to me. Bring me what you have that's not enough. I'll break it to make it more than enough. And his 5 loaves and 2 fishes that was sufficient to feed one, God broke it to where it was sufficient to feed thousands. He brought him what was normal and God broke it until it became something abnormal. He brought him something ordinary, but then he broke it and he made it into something extraordinary. And it's interesting what happened whenever they brought it to him. The Bible says that he took it, he blessed it, and he broke it. He took it, he blessed it, and he broke it, which means God would not allow brokenness to come to your life unless he already blessed you. God would not break you if he didn't already bless you. Because he gives you blessing to survive the breaking. Oh God. He gives you blessing to survive and sustain the broken period. He will not break what he doesn't first bless. So your brokenness is a sign of your blessedness. What if I told you a year and a half ago you were in this very sanctuary? You felt the power of God while Pastor was preaching. And you curled up in the altar and you prayed, you and your family. And it's like you didn't even have to try to feel him. His presence was just so strong when it fell. And you were just shivering and quaking under God's glory. And you felt a powerful move of God on you a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And you didn't realize that God was blessing you that you might survive 2020. He was equipping you before it came. The Bible says that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Meaning you were in the mind of God before time began. You were in the mind of God before Adam was created. You were in the mind of God before Abraham was created. You were in the mind of God before the world, the skies, the heavens were created. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So he had you in his mind before he created all of this. But God said, listen to me now. God said, I will hold you in my mind and I will not release you into time until I find the best time for you to live for me. I'm going to hold you in my mind and I will not release you in 300 BC. That's not a good time for you. I'm going to hold you in my mind, and I will not release you in 400 A.D. That's not a good time for you. I'm going to hold you in my mind. I will not release you in the late 1800s. He said, I'm going to release you in the middle of a pandemic. I'm going to release you in the middle of unrest because you're the only ones I can trust to go through it and come out better than you went in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not here by accident. You're here because you can handle it. You're not here by accident. You're here because when you come out of this thing, you're coming out better than you went in. You're coming out with fresh anointing. You're coming out with fresh fervor. You're coming out in the power of the Spirit.
Oh, you would not have allowed it to come. If you couldn't survive it. For the scripture states, he will not put more on you than you can bear. Oh, Lord. So God knows your limits. And he wouldn't have allowed it. Come on, somebody. If you couldn't survive it. So the very evidence that something bad's happening is to reveal the strength that you have. And the resolute commitment that you have. While some, there are some places that have told, places not UPC, not apostolic, but there are some places that say, we're not going to come together until the middle of 2021. And while they're doing that, look at you gnawing to get into the presence of God. You didn't realize how powerful you are. You're having church in the middle of a pandemic. And you beating yourself up, talking about your lack and something's wrong with you. Are you hearing me right now? God said, I allowed the brokenness to break off the timid nature and the false narrative that you've had about yourself. Come on, somebody. Say, you always beat yourself up, but I allow brokenness to show you that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory that's giving you strength. Oh, God. This season has showed you how strong and powerful that you are. You're in church and in the middle of everything going on. Your one thing that you've been thinking about is when we're going to get back to church. Come on, somebody. In whatever way I can get in, have church. I'll watch online if I can. I'll watch online. I'll do the Zoom call. Praise God. I'll do whatever you want. Some of y'all learned more about technology during COVID than you ever had your whole life. Now, how do I work this thing again? Facebook Live. Okay, now. Live. So I type in Facebook Live. No, you type in the church name and then you go to Facebook Live. So what, I type in the Facebook, the church name on my comments? No, you type in the church and then you go, come on somebody, and you got some technological savvy that you didn't know you could have. Come on somebody. And out of your brokenness, there's been gifts that have come out that we didn't see before. Broke the bread, but he blessed it before he broke it. And the last time he broke the bread was at the Last Supper, where he broke the bread and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he gave the bread to them and they ate it. And he was showing them that he, the bread of life, would be broken, but he would only be broken for everybody else's nourishment. It wasn't by accident. God's eyes have been attentive on every one of you. He's seen every tear. He's seen every hurt. He's seen every misunderstanding. He's seen how you've been looking at yourself and getting depressed and suffering from anxiety and fear and worry. He thought God may have abandoned you. No. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And he's been watching your every step. And he's been smiling because he sees there are some things budding in your life and in your family that you've yet to see. But you're going to thank him for it later. There's something happening in your character. Now you have more of a tender heart. You used to never really worship. You used to fold your arms and you used to not get involved. But in this broken season, a tear comes down now. Your heart's more broken. You're more compassionate. You sympathize with other people's brokenness now because the greatest sympathizer is a broken spirit. Everybody stand with me. Musicians can come. Singers can come. I feel the anointing in this house. I've come to tell you to hold on in the broken season. Don't give up. Because God has been doing some things behind the scenes. He's been giving this church favor in places you don't even realize yet. He's been opening up doors that have yet to be revealed to you. Hold on in the middle of the brokenness. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. Don't look at yourself and say, "What's wrong with me?" Just hold on. There's something powerful beginning to bud. This blessing is going to overtake your family. It's going to overtake your finances. You're going to have favor with kids at your school that you never would have had before. And for those of you that may be having school online, God's going to give you favor. The brokenness is a part of the process. You've been saying, "God, what's wrong with me?" He said, "There's nothing wrong with you." It's not. You say, "Man, maybe it's because I hadn't prayed enough. Or maybe it's my prayer life. That's why this happened to me." God says, "It has nothing to do with your prayer life. Maybe, God, my brokenness is because I'm not as close to you as I thought I was." He says, "It's not nothing to do with your fellowship with me." He said, "But there's a dimension of fellowship that people don't like. As Paul said, that I may know him. The power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. I always want to know him in this new level of power and revival and greatness, and I'm glad I know him there, but there's some deep places that he wants to know me, and it only comes through that pain and through that suffering. Wrong with you. I come to ease somebody's mind. There's nothing wrong with you. God is just putting some things together for your life that you're going to thank him for later." Can you grab your family member by the hand? They're about to worship in a moment. Can you grab your family member by the hand? Can you lift those hands together? Can you make a commitment to God that you're going to hold on? He's about to show you what he's been doing. He's about to show you. You've been on the end of this broken season. He's about to show you the blessing that's coming. He's about to show you the shift that's coming. Come on, somebody open up your mouth right now.
Come on, somebody, open your mouth. God, I'm holding on. You're faithful. You're going to make a way for my family. You're going to do what you know to do. My broken season isn't going to destroy me. It's going to develop me. It's going to catapult me. Something good's coming out of this. Come on, somebody, open up your mouth and go into the throne room of God. I feel God pouring honey on your brokenness right now. Come on, let the honey begin to flow on you right now.
I've come to be you.
Some things in faith over the person next to you. I want you to start prophesying for honey to begin to flow right in the middle of their pain. You're next to somebody that's been going through it. I want you to open up your mouth and begin to declare some things over their life. Something is beginning to turn around right now. God is beginning to turn something around right now. Come on, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to begin to speak some things over the person next to you. Come on, give them an encouraging word. God is turning some things around. Come on, speak over them. You don't even have to touch them right now. There's something shifting in the spirit realm right now. Oh God, in this broken season, you're turning something around. Let the honey begin to flow. Let the honey flow from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Let the honey overflow into schools. In the name of Jesus, let it overflow into lost mothers and lost fathers, lost family members. God, let the honey begin to flow. Come on, somebody press in right now. They're going to sing some more, but somebody needs to press in right now.
You got